Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jumping off in hour two here of Sports Talk. Good to have you aboard. Going to have our State of the Pelicans roundtable with Amos Morrell III. Part of our sports team, digital content producer as well. Steve Geller, Saints sideline reporter, and also part of our sports team. The Pelicans, just frustrating in general to watch. Amos and Steve, are they on with us right now? Amos, I see him with us. We're getting Steve here in a few moments. But, man, last night giving up 139 points, and we've seen this team this year give up some massive amount of points, in particular with their coach being a defensive guy. It's frustrating. And, look, here's the deal. You know, what the fear, I think, for Pelicans fans is currently, Bobby, we've seen two superstars leave this city with not much to show for it. Chris Paul, Anthony Davis.
Right.
And Zion's saying the right things, all the right things. He's in, but I think eventually fans are fearful that...
But yeah, but he hasn't played a complete season.
I know.
So wait, that's why I'm trying to slow my roll for 2022.
I know, but it's in the back of their minds, right?
Right.
It's in the back of my mind as well. Amos Morrell III, Stephen Geller, joining us now as well. And look, this kind of be a free-flowing segment. And, man, raise your hand kind of between the four of us if you share the idea that, man, the Pelicans are frustrating to watch. They just are.
Well, I think Stan Van Gundy would probably share that same assessment, you know, particularly the way these last few games have gone. I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, they've had some injuries, but still, I think he's still a little bit frustrated with just how to – overall, I mean, they play so well at times, and you know, it's not like they're just completely getting blown out in a lot of these games last night, notwithstanding. They're, you know, they've shown flashes of being a team that, like, can compete for the playoffs. But, yeah, I think it's obviously been a little bit of a frustrating thing at times. It just kind of grates on you.
Steve, you've been around this. You've covered this organization at times for a stretch, and I know you've been all in on the Pels in the past in terms of, you know, rooting for their success and being a part of that, but man, it's hard to watch. It's hard. It's frustrating to watch. You agree?
Yeah, it's definitely been frustrating. The perfect description right now. The ball club. I mean, last night aside, because you're coming off of it was a back to back playing against one of the super teams in the NBA. They were just getting, you know, Kevin Durant back. And I wasn't like I was expecting much going into that game because of who you're facing, because of the injuries you had. But then you get into the game, and the first quarter was all right. You were in it, but after that, it was a total disinterest. It seemed it was really disgusting to see a lack of any kind of defense or. It seemed like the team just didn't want to be in the game or playing anymore. And we've talked about it's a young team. They're still learning. But when we're 50 games in, how much time do you need to learn to play defense, and when you need to get back, and when you need to show some effort constantly? There's just not that cohesiveness where you feel like it's not a consistent product. And even when it is, it just doesn't all look right together still.
Well, all I know is it's not the All-Star game, and that you got to – come on. Especially if that's your background, Coach Van Gundy. You gave him 79 points and a half? I was like, what? And then James Harden didn't even play. Now, look at Brooklyn. They are an all-star team. When you look at, what minutes do they get and what's going to come back? Kevin Durant comes back to play. I don't know. He's just like a stroll in the park for him. But they truly are an all-star game. But when I look at it, the bottom line is not just what happened against the Hawks and what happened against Brooklyn. They've been destroyed behind the three-point line. Now, you might say, well, a team just got hot. No, they get they get way too hot as far as like giving up threes and looking at behind the 3-point mark. I'm looking at Atlanta. This was unbelievable. That's why I love college basketball. I love to watch it. And you look at Baylor compared to Gonzaga, how they hit some clutch shots from beyond the arc. But think about this. This is the NBA. The Atlanta Hawks, are they going to win anything? No. But all I know is that they hit 21 three-point shots. Look at the NBA, the three-point line. And this blew my mind that they put 11. What were they, 11 for 11 in the third quarter?
In the third quarter, it was like a video game, Bobby. And Atlanta's got a siren like the old Superdome siren. Every time the Hawks hit a three-pointer, that damn thing goes off. And that's all you kept hearing in the third quarter. It was unbelievable to see and hear.
And you look after two quarters, the Nets had knocked down 11 three-pointers. So I don't know what kind of team meeting you have to stop the three-point shot. But listen, and that's to frustrate Coach Van Gundy or the players. You know what's interesting when he did his press conference is that, you know what young players want to do? They want to do, okay, I'm going to show you how good I am. I want to score. How about being a team player and being outstanding defensively? You know who's an outstanding defensive player? This goes way back. This goes way back, Chris. You might not even remember, Steve, none of y'all. T.R. Dunn. T.R. Dunn from Alabama played with the Denver Nuggets. To score points, he hopes he can get to the free throw line. But you know he can play D. Can you beat a team concept? And that's why, can you buy into the team concept? Not everybody has to score. There's only one basketball. But can you play that team defense? I think is critical going forward. If you're going to be part of a team, I think what Coach Van Gundy is trying to establish with the Pels.
Yeah, and like you said,
Go ahead, Amos.
What I was going to say, and I think, like you said, that is it's a thing he, consistently continues to harp on. You know that I believe it was a few games ago. The Zion Williamson missed a couple free throws, and oftentimes after games you'll see some of the players come out and put up some shots. Even if they had a good night, and he just kind of Van Gundy said. That he really kind of wishes that the team really had that same attitude about the defensive end, where they have a bad night, that they go out and really attack it just sort of like they go out to, attack the offensive woes that they have. So, that's something that he's definitely harped on. And it's something that, like you said, it's been 50 games. It takes time to figure out, but, you'd expect to see it a little bit more on a consistent basis by this point.
What I'm tired of is the narrative of, oh, be patient. We've been hearing that for 5 years now. Oh, it's going to take time.
What are you talking about, Mark Menard?
I'm talking about just in general. Even when Dell Demps was a general manager. And I'm just over that. And, Steve, as you pointed out, now Monty Williams, the one-time Pelicans coach, is up for Coach of the Year honors in Phoenix.
Yeah, you see that, and of course, who's there with them? And Chris Paul, you see that success definitely, for me as the fan in me, it stings to see that going on when I still can't comprehend. I wish someone would please explain to me how Monty Williams brings the team to the playoffs and then subsequently gets fired for whatever reason that, from what I understand, that Dell Demps was ready to go in a different direction with this team, but with your nucleus, a young team that you just had with a budding young star in Anthony Davis, and unless it was something where
AD said, I want him out of here, but I can't believe that with the relationship that I thought that they had, you know? It just seemed to me that kind of moment when you move on from a coach like that, it sets you your franchise back, and you're still looking for that answer. And to me right now, I'm not saying that Van Gundy's got to go, but right now what's the difference with this year's team compared to last year's team under Gentry? Now that we have a defensive-minded coach, the defense is worse.
Yes. Amen.
Amos and Steve, sit tight. This is Sports Talk, State of the Pelicans here on WWL. Pelicans roundtable here on Sports Talk, the State of the Pelicans with Amos Morales, Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. And Steve, before the break, you hit it. You nailed it. Why is this team struggling so poorly defensively, so badly defensively, when Stan Van Gundy is a defensive-oriented coach? It's perplexing to think about. Does anybody have any answers as to why?
I mean, the biggest I don't want to say excuse or reason, I guess you would say, that I keep hearing over and over is the fact that this season, because of the COVID restrictions, the team doesn't have
enough practice sessions or what?
Right, exactly. But to me, that doesn't mean the effort should still be there on the court, and that has been an issue repeatedly.
You know, obviously, you know, you got to watch what you wish for. You look at Drew Holiday; he just signed an extension with the Milwaukee Bucks. We got Eric Bledsoe. Now, Eric Bledsoe did score a team high 26 points. Now he got ejected late in the third quarter against Brooklyn. But when you look at like guys going forward, obviously, you look at Zion, you look at Brandon Ingram, B.I. We all know they're in the fold. And then I look at, you know, it's amazing, Lonzo Ball and how hard he's worked with Pelicans and assistant coach Fred Vincent. When I read this is like, you know, they're on the road, they're playing at Atlanta, then they got to go to Brooklyn. But I didn't realize this, that Lonzo Ball is the first Pelican to hit 8 threes in a game this season. He's connected on 5 or more 3 times, or more 3, 7 times this season. Hit that benchmark. Now, think about this, how he's progressing. Hit that benchmark 5 times in the 19-20 season. In 2 seasons with the Lakers, he got there a combined 4 times. So I just look at Lonzo where he's at. I think he's part of the future, Amos and Steve. Would y'all agree with that? I think they will pay him, B.I. and Zion, that Lonzo will be part of the mix going forward.
One of my biggest fears, honestly, is the fact of, do you know who represents Lonzo Ball?
Is
Clutch
that,
Sports, right?
Clutch
Sports,
right? Or
yeah, Rich Paul. And I just know how things were during the Anthony Davis negotiations. That's why I really thought that Lonzo was going to get dealt by the trade deadline, because I've always had this feeling, and it's nothing based on anything but just what I feel, honestly. It's nothing that he said about of not wanting to be here, but I feel like Ball, his dad, they want to be in that bigger, larger market, and preferably, obviously, West Coast. And I just see that, you know, representation again with Rich Paul going through more drama, and it just is it worth it?
Well, the dad's drama, but Lonzo's not drama. I mean, he's been outstanding. I mean,
but Bobby, he went 1-for-6 last night on 3-point range.
Yeah, 1-for-6. But when you look at the track record, you look at the Lakers, for instance, he was 31.5% from the distance. He would shoot about 5.5 three-pointers per game, a little more than 100 games with the Pelicans. Like you said, he had an off night against Brooklyn, but he was shooting at 38% on nearly 7 attempts per game. So he's more aggressive. He changed his shot. You could see Fred Vincent. It's not like that. Fucking shot is like, you're a right-hander. Why are you coming from left to right to shoot? So he was willing to be coachable and change. I mean, I'm interested in him going forward, how he closes out the season. Now, you can't go 1-for-6 because they're counting on you. To me, I think Lonzo still has a lot of upside that they can lean upon to close out the year.
Amos, do you agree with Bobby? You think he's in the future?
Yeah, I got to think that, you know, that's a big reason and one of the reasons they didn't want to you know, deal him by the trade deadline. I mean, obviously, you know, with the way he's shooting, you can see even when he's not hitting, the fact that he's started to hit at a, you know, pretty consistent clip, you know, it's creating some space, and that's allowing Zion Williams to get in into the paint and do what he does. And we all know that he's got incredible touch around the rim, so that, you know, that's turning into what looks like an automatic bucket. But I think that was one of the reasons he wasn't dealt, is because they do see him as a guy that, you know, really fits in with the core group of players that they have, you know, with Zion and Brandon Ingram. So, I kind of see them. You know, he's definitely a guy that I know they would want to keep around. And, you know, if you look at the way he's played this year and how he's just complimented the rest of the team, and, you know, he's been one of the better defenders they had, but obviously, you know, with that shooting, it's going to be a challenge to keep him, because there's going to be some other teams that are going to say, all right, well, now that you can do this, you maybe could fit in here. So,
and, you know, Amos and Steve, I look at, okay, that wasn't long ago. You look at against the Rockets, what occurred. Alonzo, he returned after a seven-game absence. I've dealt with a hip flexor. I know you got to be able to run, you know, like groin and your hip flexor. I mean, no, it's hard to run. You want to fight through it, but he scored 27 points and he connected on 8 3-pointers then. That was a new career high for him. So that's why I'm saying the jury's still out. If you look at it, yeah, okay, what happened against, what have you done for me lately? What happened against Brooklyn? So that's why, whether they're going to pay him or not, he's playing basically for his future in the big payday or wherever it might be. Because we all know Brandon Ingram, and we all know Zion's part of the future. But I think with Lonzo, they wanted to be part of the future, but then you got to go out there and produce game in and game out. And I would much rather see him have the type of game that Bledsoe had when he scored a team-high 26 points. But you cannot get embarrassed like he did against Brooklyn. Because then it's like, you know what that game looked like to me? I'm watching it. I was like, man, I'm not watching this anymore. It was like the JV versus the varsity. You know, you have a scrimmage, you go out and play, and then it's working out. Oh, look, it's competitive in the first quarter. Then you look at the second quarter comes about, and it's like, what? You're supposed to play defense. You can never give up 79 points and a half. I don't care who you are. You could be whoever you perceive overall. Now, the Timberwolves has beat the Pels a couple of times, but whoever you perceive as the worst NBA team, there's no coach, whatever, they would say that's totally unacceptable that you're giving up basically 80 points and a half. That's like you're not even playing defense.
How do you inspire them to give the effort and not just kind of like half-step in it?
No, that's you got to put that on the coach, without a doubt.
It makes me wonder if they're buying what he's selling.
Well, you know, they were sort of seeming to get it and seeming to get a little bit more consistent. Then that injury happened. You know, you bring in two guys that have gotten a lot of minutes, you know, since that J.J. Redick trade and Wes Iwundu and James Johnson. So they're
Johnson's,
you know,
getting starter minutes. You're right.
Yeah, and both of those guys are, you know, good defenders, good players, but, you know, you basically just threw them out there and told them, hey, all right, go play. And it took the Pelicans a while to kind of figure out, all right, well, I don't need to move over and try to help out here, you know, Stephen Adler. You know, and you're trying to, like, build new chemistry with a couple of guys that are pretty much starting or, you know, playing a lot of minutes now. Josh Hart, who was a really good defender off the bench and an excellent rebounder, you know, he's not going to be out for an extended period of time. So,
right.
I mean, you're kind of, you know, shuffling the team, you know, right about when it seemed like everything was starting to come together. So, you know, that's one thing I think that, you know, you got to take into consideration. It's like, you know, well, the guys who maybe did buy in, they aren't playing right now.
Amos Morrell III, Steve Geller, part of our sports team. Thanks for participating in our State of the Pelicans roundtable. Thanks, man. Thanks, fellas.
Well, thanks a lot, Amos and Steve. All I know is, you know, we're more lenient with the Pelicans. We would not be giving the Saints a pass.
No way.
I'm keeping it. The pros and pros.
Generations.
You know, football, basketball, I'm just telling you.
The biggest thing the Pelicans have going against them and for them, though, in the cases like this, Christian, is there hasn't been generations that have grown up with that
team. I always look at the glass half full. When I look at the Pelicans, I think it's half empty. I mean, that's the way, as of late, when I want to be encouraged, then I'm discouraged. Then I'm discouraged.
Bobby and Christian, we'll be back here on Sports Talk on WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.